Oh my God.
I should have
Where
brought my little eclipse
you
glasses.
should, yeah, you should you brought your clip glasses. I can't see a damn thing. Oh my God. Yeah, I hope the eclipse glasses I got were good ones. I think they are, because I can't see a dang thing right
You're
now.
having a total eclipse of the heart there.
Great song, by the way. I'm sure she was very busy yesterday. First of all, what the hell are we supposed to do with these damn things now?
Leanne posted on there because I think like maybe somewhere in South America they'll have one in like this fall or next spring.
Okay, so you
And
could
you could
donate
like,
yours to there. Yeah, I heard about that.
leave it to Leanne to find something like that. But yeah, I don't know. I think ours are sitting on a counter at home or on the dining room table or whatever. But
Should have
yeah.
wore my Macho Man glasses.
Yeah, me
Yeah.
too. You
The
look cool.
cream and the sun rises to the top. Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that's gonna be blind is Mean Gene when he
Yeah.
fucking knows.
It's Miss Elizabeth. Yeah, you were lucky enough to be there in Erie in the Path of Totality, and like we talked about before we recorded, being in the path of 100%, the Path of Totality was different than even back. I was in Pittsburgh. I was in 97% totality, and it was pretty cool, but not as nearly as cool as being there, and it was dark. That had to be so cool, and the birds were going crazy. How cool is that?
It was definitely not like there was people in there saying, oh, this is like a big to-do about nothing or whatever. Let me tell you. So I think the next one's in like 2041. If you have a chance to be where it's in totality, it's incredible. To have it go completely dark like that, and like we had like a music going, we had like as many Eclipse songs as you could think of. Eclipse by Pink Floyd, we had
Yeah.
Burning Ring of Fire, we had Steal My Sunshine, we had Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, the Moonraker theme from James Bond, we had everything. But then like we all decided like we're gonna cut the music down when it gets to totality because it's supposed to, you hear the rumor, it's supposed to be really, really cool. It was beyond cool. I mean, it went black. And like I have a video and you can hear people just going. Like there were some people like kind of screamed a little bit and oohed and awed, and it was eerie. It was not eerie the city, it was just eerie. And like the birds started going nuts, and we were at this place where they encourage you to bring your pets, so there was tons of dogs there. Well, the dogs just started going nuts. They're barking and the birds are all flying in the air like they didn't know what was going on. I mean, everything you've heard
Wow.
that happened. We saw it. I mean, it was really, really
That had
fun.
to be, think of it, if you're a bird or a pet or an animal or something, it's like, why is it nighttime? What the heck's going on here? That's, yeah, they have to be really confused.
And it got slightly larger, darker, and then boom, it just goes. And it was almost like if you're sitting in your living room and someone just turned the light off, and that's when everybody just went. I think there most people there hadn't experienced that, so there was still that shock and awe. And on my like phone, I recorded that. You can hear the shock and awe, like, wow, I didn't expect it to be like this,
In a lot of cities in the Path of Totality, there were because it was on the NASA feed, there were like almost like stadiums or crowds of people, and they were cheering like crazy for it, and they were going crazy. So such a cool event, once in a lifetime. I think the next totality for us is like in like
2041.
2041. Okay,
Yeah, and I think
okay.
Pittsburgh's in the same boat. It's like probably not 90th percentile, but like the totality arc is the exact opposite. It's from like Tacoma across the Midwest and the
Oh,
rainbow's down into
okay.
Miami. So, which that could be really cool to be down in Florida because the skies are usually a little
So
clearer than Pennsylvania.
2041, so it's 2024, so the Steelers will have celebrated their 16th consecutive Super Bowl by that time.
Right.
Justin Fields will lead us, I'm sure,
Yes.
and Russell Wilson will be the quarterback's coach, and yeah, it'll be awesome.
Right.
I want to talk about WrestleMania a little bit. What did you think of the event overall?
I'm so old school and fat and old fashioned, so many things. I'm like the, well, this is the best. The first is the best. I've never come off of my mark that WrestleMania 3 wasn't the best. It may have been better. WrestleMania 40 hit on every single mark. I mean, there was maybe one match in my mind that was eh. All the matches, it started off with Rhea Ripley. Her match was fantastic. I don't think there was a C match. I mean, all of them were so well done. The storytelling was phenomenal. The fans, probably the best fan experience I think I've ever seen. It was epic. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, it broke all the records for gate, ratings, everything. And it largely due with the storytelling. And I don't know, Joe, if that was a mix between we're so sick of Vince and the story arcs that he's given us over a couple of years, so we're just going to jump on this with everything or whatever it was. But I thought it may probably be the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
This is the first WrestleMania completely without Vince McMahon or any of his freaking cronies and all of his idiots. So this is all Triple H, and he did a great job. And they kept saying this is a new era. This is a new era, and it really is for many reasons. But it delivered. It didn't hit that high with me because I basically boycotted WWE for the last year because of what they did to Rhodey at the last WrestleMania. So I didn't have the full impact, but it would seem like a very good show. And of course, Cody finally finishes the story. I'm still mad about last year, but it happened. It was a wonderful, main event. Both nights had great main events. I liked that the end of night one, Roman and The Rock won. Mm-hmm. And that meant that it was bloodline rules. And they kept emphasizing, like, now Cody has no chance at all. Oh, he's guaranteed to lose now. It's like, then you know he's going to win. It was like,
you know, Cody, there's going to be someone screwed. To help.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because I guess the rule was bloodline rules, which means, you know, anybody can interfere. It's like, yeah, well, anybody can interfere for Cody, too.
Right. No, they did build it up to be an impossible thing. And just, you know, Cody Rhodes, one thing he took from his dad, and I don't think enough people give him credit, he is so fantastic in the way he tells a story, how he sees things through and acts them through, just like his dad did. You know, I think you and I are probably right neck and neck with Dusty being our favorite. I may have Randy Savage a little bit above that, but Dusty Rhodes, for so many reasons, is my favorite. And, you know, his attention to detail and the way he would do it, right? I'll never forget, there was an interview Mark Miro did. And Mark Miro was like, you know, my best times were WCW, is Johnny B. Badd. And,
right.
Because the WWF really tried to take him, and it was okay. And then Sable kind of like took over.
Sable overshadowed him. Yeah.
But he said how, you know, it was Dusty that taught him to do the Johnny B. Badd walk and the whole, and you see that in Cody, just so relatable to the people, so compelling the story. Like you said last year, he got screwed, and he just, you know, I mean, everything about it had everybody on the edge of their seat and so engaged and invested. It was fantastic.
In addition to Dusty being the legendary wrestler of the 70s and 80s, he really helped create NXT, and he helped develop all of these. Basically, all the stars of today are from Dusty's coaching and guidance. And that's where, you know, that he helped them so much. You know, such a wonderful.
Well, yeah. Randy Orton says the same thing. He Dusty was the one who told him, I don't need you to be Cowboy Bob Orton. I need you to be Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Damian Priest is another one. Damian Priest was the guy where he, if you remember, he came out, he was a bodyguard for Nikki and Brie Bella. And Dusty's like, I bring him in here. I see something in him. And he didn't know that he's a 3-time national champion in karate and a qualifier for the Olympics for the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico. I can't remember which. Dusty saw it. And here he is sitting here tonight, is, you know, the other world champion.
The you know? Second ever Puerto Rican world champion. Really cool. Right. Really right. cool. But yeah, I love Dusty so much. Trying not to get emotional here, but you know, Hulk Hogan was the first thing, the first, you know, wrestler that I really, you know, paid attention to when Hulkamania started going sure. crazy. But I also paid attention to the NWA, and I saw this kind of chubby guy, you know, with so much charisma. And I thought, I'll never look like Hulk Hogan, but I could look like that guy.
Right.
I just watched the Hard Times promo again. And anytime Dusty was, you know, you could put Ric Flair up there as the best interview and the best promo, but Dusty was right there. Every time he did an interview, it just hit hard, and he always hit the right notes, and it was perfect. That Hard Times promo, the greatest of all time. At one point he says, he goes and says, reach out to me. I'm reaching out to you. Reach out to me. And I guarantee everybody, even now when I see it, I reach out to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And son Cody, of a plumber. Yeah, son of a plumber. And Cody, I love and respect so much, because he could have easily kept the Stardust gimmick. He was stuck with the Stardust gimmick like his brother Goldust, and he could have easily just coasted along in WWE and been a mid guy, and, you know, occasionally win like the United States Championship or some little thing like that, and just, you know, just coasted along. And he said, no, that's not good enough. I don't want to be in this position. I want more. So he quit. He goes off into independence. He goes to wrestle in Japan. He goes to create a new company, and it's the actual real competitor to WWE. And then they kick him out of that, and he comes back to WWE as a conquering hero, as beloved a year or two ago, and it was the most wonderful thing. And yeah, when he did not win last year, I was so angry, because it was a perfect end to the story. And I still disagree with that, but hey, what, you know, what's done is done. But he finally achieves it, and it was just beautiful, and I'm so happy, and I love that's all right.
Go ahead, go.
I was going to mention all the interference from the Rock.
It was tremendous. I mean, I'm sitting there because we had family come up, because we were going up to the Clips Monday, and we're sitting there watching WrestleMania, and I mean, John Cena's music hits, and everybody, including my wife, we're jumping out of our chairs. And then the Taker's music hits. My little 9-year-old boy's jumping on the couch. It's the Undertaker. And I mean, it was just, I'm looking around, I'm watching, here's a guy in his 70s. Here's us. Here's the 9-year-old. And I'm thinking, this is really appeasing a large spectrum of age, you know? And they just went nuts. And so it was fantastic. And, yeah, you know, there's a skit with Dusty that's been coming up now, and I think because of what happened this weekend. But it's one that was like a, what do you call it, a lost scene. And it was some promo that Goldust was cutting. Cody had come out of the Stardust thing, if you remember that. For a brief time, he was trying to, like, just beat Cody Rhodes. And I think that was, like, maybe 2 months later, he's gone. And they had, like, this weird, like, you know, backdoor, like, you know, exchange about a tag team match. And then it cuts to Dusty, and he's got these – and long dreads on. He goes, man, I raised up some effed up kids. And, like, you know, I mean, it's, because my kids are effed up. Like, I mean, it's so funny. You know, I'll see if I can find that and send it to you. But it was funny.
Goldust did do some messed up stuff, man. Oh man. They really cross the line with him sometimes.
But he was such a fantastic technical wrestler. I mean, he gets his due, but he doesn't get his due.
Yeah.
And Cody executed very well last night as well, Sunday night, and Saturday night. And that was the other thing, Joe. I mean, Saturday night, they went through hell. You know, I mean, you could tell Sunday or Monday Night Raw last night, The Rock came down and he went to get up on the rope to hold the belt up, and he had to take a stutter step. You could tell he was still hurting. They went through heck. I loved Cody's interview on the Today Show Monday morning. And I guess Triple H or Paul Levesque, I guess we're calling him that now, told them, "Don't worry, buddy, we have a heated ring." It wasn't heated. He said, Cody said, "Yeah, that was a load of crap." He said, "Triple H has already lied to me." He said, "We have all a heated ring." Well, my buddy Brad, who does another wrestling podcast, they were there covering it, and they said, I mean, people, if you notice, there's people in their parkas.
It was freezing.
By the time The Rock and Roman Reigns and Cody and Seth took it, it was 41 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, holy, can you imagine being under your shirt off at 41 degrees? And yeah.
You know, shout out to the Philly crowd for having to put up with that, you know, 4 or 5 hours in the cold. And the wrestlers, yeah, they're basically in their underwear. And yeah, that had to be cold as heck. Yeah. That's crazy.
No, it was well done. I would say I was a little disappointed in the Uso match. Yeah. It seemed to me like it was more, it took more time to tell the story than they put into the match. And I think a lot of people were looking forward to that one. So it was a little disappointing. I like the result. But yeah, it was just a little underwhelming. But that was the only one on the whole card that I had here rated less than like an A or an A-. I mean, it was the only one.
Yeah.
Everything else really, was a lot of fun.
Really Bubba well Ray. Done.
I had to explain to my 9-year-old what "get the tables" meant. You know, it was they just did it so well, Joe, to also incorporate the fans. I mean, like you said, if you're sitting there, you're a little chilly. You probably forgot about being chilly because of the fun that was going on in the ring.
Right, right.
You know,
the night before was the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony, and mm-hmm. the main headliner was Paul Heyman, which is absolutely perfect because it was in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and he delivered one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard. I've seen it like 3 or 4 times. It is so good, and Paul Heyman does not get enough credit for, first of all, he saved WWE because ECW basically changed everything.
Yeah.
They wrestling, as he said in his speech, wrestling in the early 90s sucked. You had your garbage men and your clowns and your all these stupid gimmicks. And he comes along and says, "Hey, let's put people through tables. Let's have scantily clad women fighting. Let's have all this craziness." And basically, WCW took some elements of that, and WWF took elements of that, and basically they stole them from ECW. But if it wasn't for that, I don't know if wrestling would be around at all as it is today.
Steve Blackman is one that always comes to mind. Steve Blackman was a guy who told us at a wrestling show. He said, "Well, Vince told me no like twice. No, I have no use for you. What am I going to do with you?" And apparently, Paul Heyman was going through some of the no pile, and he said, "This guy's like a 9-time kickboxing champion. Like, why wouldn't you?" So they bring in, you know, Steve Blackman, who didn't have a great personality, right? He didn't have a charisma.
Right.
He was a phenomenal athlete. You know, he's from Anvil, PA, right outside of Hershey.
Oh.
And he gave a lot of entertainment with those, the kendo sticks and the whatever those other things are. I mean, he was a lot of fun in the ring, you know. And those kind of guys, you know, Kent Shamrock, and I forget the other guy that was a big dude. You know, that took him down that whole new path. You're right, man. And yeah. Yeah, they brought Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman, and
yeah. It was just amazing. I was obsessed with ECW. But every time they came into the area, I would go. They would either play at the Beaver Dome at Beaver County Community College, or in the Ross Raver Ice Rink, Ice Garden, or whatever they called it, and. It was a different time. They had a dump. They had a big dumpster at the entrance, and it was bring your own weapons. You brought stuff from home, and you threw it in the dumpster, and they would use that in the matches to kill each other. Different times.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
And also in that Hall of Fame speech, Roman Reigns introduced him, and he said that he was just hanging out with with Paul Heyman one night, and they were drunk, and he said, and this is, you know, years ago, and he said, I need you. I need you to be my guy. I need you to be with me. And Paul Heyman said, no, you don't. No, you don't. You just need to be you. You just need to just be yourself, and you'll be just fine in this industry. And he was absolutely right. And he ended up being with him anyway. But
We hit on that the other night with Dave, you know, with Brock Lesnar. I remember Lesnar wrestling through college. And nowadays, and maybe it's probably because of the ECWs and the UCFs and WWEs of the world. Now, a lot of the collegiate wrestlers, when they get to this stage, you know, we're talking national championship titles, the guys at Penn State and Iowa and all that, they have that charisma and that cockiness. Brock didn't have a lot of it for being this, you know, monstrous human who absolutely destroyed everybody on the mat. And I'm talking, you know, collegiate, right, level, like Greco style. He didn't have a lot of that, you know, I'm the man, I'm the beast, I'm whatever. That, again, was Paul Heyman. He had a similar conversation with Paul Heyman. I need you. I need you to at least help me, you know. And that was another Dusty Rhodes got in there and helped, you know, bring it at him a little bit.
I'm still. There's a big what if with Brock Lesnar. Is he tried out in the NFL for the Minnesota Vikings, and the only reason he didn't make it is because he was dealing with an injury. I think he would have been a great whatever. Defensive lineman, offensive lineman, whatever the hell he wanted to do, I think he would have been great in the NFL, but it just didn't work out. His NFL's loss is wrestling's gain, because he was amazing. And he was a great wrestler that just didn't like talking. He could talk when he wanted to, but he just didn't want to. And he had Paul Heyman talk for him and be his advocate and his personality. And it was a perfect marriage. And they were just perfect together. So
yeah.
Kudos to WWE. Yeah, they're really going. And I'm rooting out now that Vince McMahon is gone. I'm rooting like heck for Triple H. And he seems like he's really going to right the ship, and you know.
Yeah. Well, Heyman saying that I'm a Paul Levesque guy. That should tell you all you need to know in investing your time, you know, or fandom, I guess, into the WWE in the coming weeks and years. Because they have done a great thing with NXT. You know, you kind of laugh at it like, oh, well, yeah, Damian Priest is wearing gold around his waist. I think you'll see LA Knight kind of be there next. And, you know, it's really been a lot of fun. They continue to do impressive things, enough for me to keep watching.
Triple H was in charge of NXT for years and did a great job with that. So, that's going to be awesome. On to the Steelers. Not a lot going on. We're a couple weeks away from the draft. One thing that I've heard of is, and we've talked about this before, that the Steelers aren't shy about telling you what they want or what they're going after. They don't make it a secret. Right. And there's this thing called, you could call it the Tomlin Trinity, Tomlin Trio, Tomlin whatever. But it's basically, if there's three things. If Mike Tomlin was at a player's pro day, if he was there, that's one thing. If they bring him in for a top 30 visit, that's a second thing. And the third thing is if they interviewed him at the combine. If those three things happen with the players, there's a very good chance they're going to take him. And so far, that's happened with two people. Nate Wiggins, who I believe is a cornerback. Is that the Clemson quarterback? Cornerback, I think. And Amarius Mims, the Georgia offensive tackle. So we'll see. And I'm sure there'll be more to come. But it seems like they're interviewing a lot of cornerbacks. Very interesting.
It does. And, you know, I think right now they still have like 13 mil to spend because of cutting all the guys that they cut. But unfortunately, it's not on a point where the well's pretty dry. I still wouldn't be surprised if they brought Mason Cole back just for some depth or a practice squad. But at this point, you're right. They got to build through the draft, and they're not making any secrets about it. That, you know, hey, yeah, look, I mean, we're it's probably at this point cornerback, defensive lineman. I'm sorry, a cornerback, offensive tackle, and then maybe center. I think they still flip and get the center in the second round, but that they're not making any bones about it. I mean, they're being, like you said, they wouldn't be good at poker. And that's, but in a way, they kind of, you know, showed their hand over free agency, right? I mean, we get rid of Deontay Johnson. So there's a glaring hole wide receiver still. You know, the quarterback situation seems to be resolved and in place. You fix the linebacker with Patrick Queen. So it really only leaves a few directions they're going to go. You know, they have some holes, big ones, center. And I still think that's the biggest because they don't have anybody. Okay, at least they have Pickens at wide receiver. At least they have a couple offensive linemen. They don't have a center, so they need one badly. They need more than one. Yeah. I've seen a lot of them lately taking the Penn State kid at center in the later rounds. So they may draft two centers, one early, one late. I wouldn't put that.
Hey, why not?
You know, and there's always going to be guys as we get closer to August cut that I'm sure they'll bring in that has any tidbit of experience to fill a few holes. But yeah, Joe, and that's why this makes this draft maybe a little bit more. Last year, I hate to say this, but like a broken record here. Last year was probably the most important one in 10 years. I guess this is the most important one in 10.1 because they got to hit. They got to hit on all these, Joe. They don't have time to get a, you know, fill in your favorite Steeler flop.
Right. You know, right. No room for error.
Right. Very little.
And see, with the Steelers, it's weird because most teams, you want a really good left tackle, a really good right tackle, pretty good guards and center. Who cares? Not with the Steelers. We have a tradition to uphold. We have a tradition of Mike Webster, Dermoni Dawson, and a few other ones that were really good. You want Marquise Pouncey. You want to be have a strong center. Tackle, not so much. Tackle, whatever.
Yeah.
But you want that strong center. So that'll be really interesting.
Even bringing in Jeff Harding from free agency was probably one of their better ever free agency signings in history. So, yeah, so that's where it's got to be. I mean, I think everybody knows that. I still think it could be interesting. I saw a couple scenarios where the Steelers might trade back and doing that may pick up an extra second. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And they're a little lucky. There's a lot of fortuitousness here because it's a very deep draft to tackle. It's a pretty deep draft to wide receiver. It's okay for cornerbacks. And center, you know, there's like seven or eight out there. But, now, look, I don't think either Joe or I are saying here that whatever they draft, they're all going to start. They're all going to be superstars. We're saying, you know, a few starters – got to come out of this draft, and then a few guys for depth too, obviously. But you know, there's probably going to be at least two guys, Joe, that are going to be legit starters, or maybe three on this team come next year. You know, and that's a lot out of a draft. You're obviously, I guess, I think anyone probably in a first or two rounds, you're expecting to probably be a starter, or at the very minimum, push for the starting job, unless you're Kenny Pickett. But they probably are saying, hey, those first three picks, these three guys, we needed to be playing at 1 o'clock on Sundays or 4 o'clock on Sundays next year.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why I think we talked, I thought we had a great discussion like a week or two ago. We talked about, does that define where they go, Joe? Because there are a couple guys, including Mims, who are, you know, the knock on them is they're not NFL ready yet, but the uptick is huge. So does that something the Steelers say, oh, that doesn't matter, we'll still take him? Or are they looking at saying, hey, this guy's going to be a bona fide starter. We don't have time to develop him. So this time we are going to go for the guy that can fit in that hole and play without a lot of tutelage or, you know, cradling, whatever you want to call it, from us. So I don't know. And maybe, Joe, that's why they put so much time into Mims saying, okay, we weren't sure. We got to go back. Are we sure? we're probably really liking him, but let's go for a third time. And, you know,
well, with Mims, you have to be absolutely sure because there's so many questions. The dude looks amazing, mm-hmm. but he can't stay healthy. And that's right. So scary. Oh gosh. So I'm doing a mock draft right now, and there was at 20, there was J.C. Latham, that Washington tackle, and there was that Nate Wiggins, and I took J.C. Latham. Now up at 51, Zach Frazier is available. That would be a best case scenario that you could get your center in the second round.
Yeah,
that would be amazing. So they have 20, 51, 84, 98, which are both third round picks. I just have a feeling they're not going to end up with two third round. They're not going to end up picking twice in the third round. I have a feeling they're going to trade up.
They might. That very well could be. That's what makes it so interesting, is are they so sure on a guy? And it's probably not fair that we bash them for Devin Bush as much as we do. Obviously, they saw something that they thought was there. It wasn't there, and you move on. I guess if you do that constantly, that's when it's a problem. So I'd say they had a mixed bag. Some people say they've really had terrible drafts. I think they've had some decent ones. Last year, I thought it was pretty good, and they've had some bad ones. But they can't have any more missed ones, right? So I think that's why they got to be sure on who they want here. They like Frazier a lot. A lot of teams do. His stock has probably risen more than any of the other offensive linemen as a whole since probably mid fall, right? I think he just impressed on a lot of ways there, and some nationally televised games. He caught the eye of a lot of people, and he's got a great story. He's a good kid. He's very strong. He's probably not like your JPJ from Oregon is probably your ideal, physical, what you want for a center. He's probably the smaller man of that, but he's still small man for NFL, but he's still bigger than you and I, but by landslide. But so it's any one of those could be very interesting. And then there's the wide receiver issue, Joe, because I like what you're thinking about with the cornerback there. And I think that's 2 weeks in a row now, or 3 weeks, you ended up having the Alabama guy fall to you.
Right.
So that's interesting.
I think if J.C. Latham does fall to the Steelers, I think they would be thrilled to take him. Just a guess. I think because he's another amazing prospect. And he actually has a lot of experience. So that would be perfect.
I think they would too. And it's so funny. I can't remember. I was going back through. It's been a while since the draft has kind of really flip-flopped. Like the top 10 or 15 since like December 1st has really shifted a lot over the last 2.5 months. Some of these guys are in the top 10 are no longer in the top 10. The Bowers kid, the tight end, they hit like top 3, top 4. Now he's drifting out a little bit.
Yeah, he's falling big time.
Yeah, so it's – well, he's still probably not making out of the first round, but it's odd. So I'm not sure – it's going to be interesting to see what these teams do. It really is, because some of these teams have similar needs, so that makes it interesting as well. But then, and you called this – you and Allison called this a few weeks ago, whatever it was. I was fine with Deontay gone. I thought he was going. You guys – we're okay with it, but didn't want it to because you thought we could be in the situation we are in now, and we're still there. They didn't bring anybody else. Well, nobody that was, big time. So, yeah. So they need a wide receiver, and they need a guy that they can perform.
It's going to be so interesting, and I think everything that happens outside of the Steelers is going to be bonkers. You keep hearing about JJ McCarthy. He could go second. He could go third. He could go fourth. Good.
Good.
Draft all the quarterbacks, all the quarterbacks, first five picks. Let's go. Just all quarterbacks or whatever. You know, keep pushing those up so that more good players are available to the Steelers. Hey, whatever. I think it's just going to be bonkers either right before the draft or during the draft. I think it's just going to be completely what we don't. I mean, I keep hearing, you know, even like all the first pick, Caleb Williams, that's a definite. Other than that, it is a crapshoot. What is Washington doing? Are they taking the LSU quarterback? Are they taking the Duke quarterback? Are they, what's going on? It is just a whole bunch of unknowns right now. It's going to be fun.
It is. A lot of these guys have Max Melton tied to the Steelers, you know, the cornerback out of Rutgers. Probably about the only thing decent to come out of there, but so he had a great 40. He looked great in the combine. He plays well on the inside and the outside in that position. So it really could be interesting. And Graham Barton is another guy they seem to like, the center out of Duke. But he's also a guy that's not been in that position for a long time either, Joe. So, you know, it really is going to be a lot of fun. And obviously people are going to come away like they're not happy with the draft or this, that, or the other thing. And it could be one of those things where maybe they do go with Grant Barton. Who knows?
But how do you rely on a center? How do you rely on a rookie center? That's, I mean, even if you draft one high, like that's a huge gamble.
It is. Although the center position is such that I think it's one of the few that if that's what they've done, you're probably going to be okay. There may be some adjustment, but that's what training camp's for. You'll see it in preseason. I think you'll get there because it's such a specialized position. There's so much for them to have to do and to know. But you're right. No matter who it would be, Barton, JPJ, Frazier, I wish they would have went and got somebody that's played a position well for a few years. And that's why, again, I'm not going to be shocked if Mason Cole doesn't end up back on this team. Just simply, you know, whatever. They may say, hey, Mason, look, we're giving you another shot. You're going to make good money. What we need you to do is help him learn the plays, you know, do this, that, and the other thing, and that's what we need you for.
Basically, it's like, hey, buddy, you, yes, it sucks that we're asking you to train your replacement, but
your glorified clipboard.
We already fired you and nobody likes you and nobody wants you. So,
so what option do you have?
What option do you have? It's either this or Netflix, buddy. Okay. Yeah. There's lots of good shows on Netflix, but maybe, you know, and, you know, the thing about Mason Cole that we saw that was painfully obvious last year was that he just had trouble snapping the ball. Where did it got like 6 months to work on that, bro? So maybe he'll be better at it. I don't know.
Conversely, though, you know, if the Steelers say, hey, do you want to come back? He'll be there before he says no. And before he hangs up the phone, he'll be halfway back to Pittsburgh because he'd be crazy not to. You know, I mean,
$3 million or tell him to go to hell. You know what? I think I'll take the $3 million.
Right. So, but yeah, you know, I think a lot of times with the drafts, you get caught up in like, okay, you get the Mims name, JPJ, and you start focusing on that. You don't realize some of these other guys out there, like the Max Meltons. What's the other kid from Missouri? Enos Rackenbaugh Jr. or Rackenstraw. Sorry. It's Rackenstraw. He's another phenomenal athlete. Had a great year at Missouri. Missouri had its best year in probably 15 years. And looks really good going in next year. He played fantastic. So there's a lot of guys out there. And that always seems the way, Joe, like you're right. They, like, okay, they only visited three guys, like you said, and that's probably going to be one of the guys. Maybe one of them will be. But then it always seems like they always have this way of bringing in a guy. You're like, who? You know, and then you go back and then it's revealed, okay, we did interview and it went really well. Remember Ziggy Hood. Like, who?
Yeah.
Ziggy, what? Ziggy Hood. You know, he's only 6 foot tall, you know, and
we wish they didn't draft him.
Right. But I mean, there's probably bound to be a guy who we kind of thought was down the list
big surprise.
Name they might recognize, and boom, he's going to be a third round pick. And we're like, whoa, what?
Right.
I'm sure. You know?
Oh, boy. We will see. It's going to be entertaining and crazy, and I'm here for it. So let's go.
Eclipses, WrestleManias, Steelers. It's been a good month. April. How many weeks are we?
The Pirates and the Penguins are doing stuff too. It's crazy. It's yeah.
I've watched your Penguins podcast and I enjoyed them. And it's the fact that they're pretty much they have a good chance of being in the playoffs is just.
I had no idea. I totally wrote them off. It's like, oh well, let's tank for a good draft pick or something like that. And now they just went crazy, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I still can't explain what the hell is going on with them. That's just
well, the Flyers like sucking more than they've ever sucked in ever is helping. Last I checked, before we jumped on here, they're losing 6-0 to the Montreal Canadiens. So
good. Good.
Yeah, it's always good.
I've reached my quota of saying anything nice about Philadelphia, praising them for the WrestleMania stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm done for the rest of the year saying anything nice about them, those people. All right, sir. Thanks, have a good one. Thanks for coming on. See ya.
Take care.